Hey everyone, this is your boy Daily News from the Real Dream Podcast. On behalf of Duke Mailman and I, we want to thank all of you guys for listening to us and supporting us. If you like what you hear, please follow us on our social media pages. We're at The Real Dream Podcast on Facebook. We're at TRDcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if that's not enough for you, look us up on Linktree at linktree.com/TRDcast. Thank you all for the support and enjoy the episode. Welcome to the Real Dream Podcast. I'm your host, Daily News. I'm here with my fellas, Duke and Mailman. How y'all doing today, fellas?
What up?
What's up, everybody?
I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving after this. Hope your holiday went well by the time this episode comes out. Thanksgiving would have already passed, so we hope your holiday was special if you celebrate it. With that being said, we're going to get to the topics today. Our first topic of the day, I was talking to a friend of mine about them going through some things in a relationship, and they were talking about how a conversation about money escalated to a conversation about their relationship. And so I just wanted to touch basis on that, about how we connect our financial struggles or financial hardships or our financial situation to our actual mental health. And so I want to talk to you guys about that. Are you guys, as my boys, do you guys find a connection in your own personal life where your financial situation does affect your mental health and how you deal with your everyday life? Or are you able to compartmentalize it and keep the two separate?
One has nothing to do with the other, as far as I'm concerned. Like, you're going to have to explain more to me, because I don't even know that. I don't even understand that connection. Maybe because I'm a minority. You grow up like that, and you know what I'm saying? We already, you go through the struggle, so it's an everyday thing. So you already know how to deal with it. It don't, you know, you want to do better and so on and so forth, but it don't go in any way, shape, or form to my mental health.
So, I mean, that's essentially it, right? The idea that in this situation, what they were talking about in this conversation between this woman and her boyfriend at the time was that they were going through a rough financial problem, and that financial problem created issues where they weren't happy. They weren't happy in the relationship. They weren't happy with themselves because they can't afford the things that they typically can afford because it's holidays and stuff like that.
And so is there a relationship based around money?
It's not. But we've seen people around the holidays, especially around Christmas, you spend a ton of money on gifts, or you can't spend money on gifts with your kids or family. And it does create a hardship in some ways if you're not prepared for it. And then you see the depression sink in. Now, as you plainly put, Duke, you've been through this as a minority. This is a way of life. So it doesn't affect you, really, does it?
No, not like that. Not where I'm stressing. Because I know if you know you're doing the best that you can, it don't matter what type of gifts you get or so on and so forth. So I guess I'm just not the right person to ask this question to, because I don't get it.
Good, Mailman.
So for me, like, you know, my financial problems and my mental health don't go hand in hand. But I kind of see where you're going with this correlation between financial and mental health. But I think what you're getting at is, this is just my opinion, it's like, it's back to what I was saying about, you know, saying your personal self-talk and you know, having that positive self-talk versus the negative self-talk. Like, so when we speak things, you can speak things into reality, meaning like our perception of things becomes our reality. So when you start speaking negatively, you know what I'm saying, or thinking negative, then you can kind of expect to have negative outcomes in your life. But if you're speaking positively and have positive self-talk, then you can kind of expect positive outlooks on your life. So it's just like a person that's saying, oh, you know what I'm saying, I hate my life, I hate how things are going, then that's basically telling yourself that you know what I'm saying, want to feel negative and be depressed, versus if you tell yourself, no matter what's going on today, I'm going to have a good day. Today is going to be a good day. Then you'll start to see that day as being a good day and having a better day.
I think it's so, and I'll tell y'all the truth. The reason why I chose this topic, and I wanted to speak on this, right, is because we have all lived lives where finances don't dictate our own happiness. But there are some people who do, right? If you aren't financially stable, if you aren't financially, not stable, if you aren't financially secure, it does bring people down mentally and emotionally because of what Mailman is saying. They go through that situation where it's like, oh, I can't afford my makeup. I can't afford this. I can't afford that. Oh, I'm not happy with myself and that connection. And the reason why I wanted to talk to you, talk about this is because of pre-programming and how we were raised. We don't think like that, right? We've been in places where we can have steak for dinner, and we've also been in places where we can have ramen noodles for dinner. So it doesn't affect us like it does other people. And that is why I brought this up for discussion.
I mean, that's just monetary stuff that we're talking about here. As far as I'm concerned, as long as my kids got food in their belly, I got a roof over my head, and I got lights and heat, I'm straight. Everything mm-hmm. else, that's to my necessity. Everything else is a plus one, so to speak. So if I can't do that, I'm still good. Because my main thing is my kids are taken care of, and they, you know what I'm saying, can live the lives that they want to live. Mm-hmm. I don't give a shit about all that other shit. I like to have that shit, of course, but that don't fuck with me if I don't have that shit. As long as I have those main things, that's what I care about.
Yeah.
See, for me, I'm a survivor. So I know what it's like to be dead, fucking broken, not have shit, and still be happy. So, you know what I'm saying? Financial shit don't fuck with me like that, because I know one way or another, you know, I'm gonna get what I need and I'm gonna have what I need to survive. I'm a survivor, so I'm gonna do what I gotta do to survive by any means anyway. All this other shit don't really faze me.
Right. I think people in situations like this, right, that sit there and they have hardships where, oh, my car broke down and I don't have money to get a new car and I got to get a cheap car and whatever the case may be, something happens, God forbid, and you have to spend a substantial amount of money and now you are without. I think that you have to understand that you're here, right? One of my patients asked the other day, I was like, hey, how's your morning going? They're like, well, I woke up, so it's a good day. That's the mentality that keeps them going, because no matter whether they're in a hospital or on a yacht, it's a good day because you woke up. It's the bare minimums that you need to have a successful life instead of these accessories and these extras. And I think that's important for people to realize.
Well, it also boils down to if you're a materialistic person or, you know what I'm saying, do you value, you know, other things in life, you know, the things that you can't put a price tag on, you know. And if you value monetary things, then your happiness is based on how much money then you got, then you will always find yourself having mental problems when you're low on funds. But if your happiness doesn't dictate or depends on what your bank account looks like, then you don't worry about shit like that.
Right. You guys know me. I'm not worried about making a ton of money. I'm worried about them having what they need. Now I'm good. You know what I mean? It's just a difference in understanding where you come from and understanding how that can affect you. And then realizing that there are things in this life that are way more important than an obstacle such as money.
You know, if you got any kind of hustle about yourself, you can always find a way to make money. I freaking do that shit all the time, but I think I kind of learned that from my mom. I watched my mom go to work. She would sew badges on the cop's uniform. She would do hair. She would make prom dresses for girls around high school girls around prom time. Like, she would have us in there doing hair with her. That's how I know how to do hair now. It's because my mom showed me to help her facilitate making money in the house. So, like, I learned early from my mom, like, you know what I'm saying? If you can good at something, you can market yourself, you can get paid to do it. So I always find a way out of nothing.
Facts. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. Hey everyone, not too long ago we had the lovely Bahia Shabazz on one of our episodes to talk to us about Brown Girls Do Invest. Brown Girls Do Invest is a nonprofit organization established to educate women to invest in stocks, real estate, and to acquire multiple lines of income while encouraging women to invest and build a diverse financial portfolio. Brown Girls Do Invest develops money management skills and positive behavior in middle school and high school children, as well as the working class woman, to improve opportunities to build that diverse portfolio. Brown Girls Do Invest offers a year-round education, community-based programs, educational meetings, financial literacy programs, and even a mentorship program. Definitely check out browngirlsdoinvest.com and also on their Twitter and Facebook at Brown Girls Do Invest for more information. Thanks for listening and enjoy the rest of the episode. And we're back to the Real Dream Podcast. We're on to a second segment of the day. We're talking about social media, man, and we're going back to how it can affect relationships. So we had this huge discussion, me and not me, let me rephrase this. There was this huge discussion at work where a bunch of women were talking about how something happened where a coworker's friend or boyfriend per se liked a bunch of people's pictures on social media. He was checking out girls' sexy thirst trap photos and liking them and yada, yada, yada. And no, needless to say, those two are no longer together. So let's be transparent with this conversation, man. And I wanted to bring it on to the episode. How can social media issues affect or ruin a relationship? And how do you overcome this, fellas? I want to hear your thoughts on this.
This whole seeking validation online from other people, whether it be other men or other women, you know, and it takes from the, you know, saying interpersonal relationship between you and your partner. It's like if you get seeking fulfillment from other people, then it makes you feel inadequate. Like, why am I not enough? Why do you need validation from other people? You know, and then also it inspires mistrust too, if you're liking this girl photo, liking that guy's photo, or, you know what I'm saying, you look at online, looking at, you know what I'm saying, this and that of the opposite sex or same sex, however floats you both. But it creates a sense of insecurity because now your partner is like, well, if you have more focused on what you're seeing online versus what you have at home, then you must not really like what you have at home. Mm-hmm. And that's where the problem comes from. Me personally, I'm not really on, you know what I'm saying, Facebook and Instagram and all that kind of stuff like that, you know, or whatever. And when it comes to me and my girlfriend, I don't even go on her page or check what her social media outlets look like, because just like you say, the one time I ever did, you know what I'm saying, I found something I didn't like. And so the saying is, whenever you go looking for shit, you usually find it and you get it right in your fucking eye. So I don't fucking go looking for shit no more, because I don't want to get shit in my eye.
I hear that.
You dig? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So for me, you know, I don't care anymore. Like, plus for me, when you are fixated on social media and your relationship and posting things about your relationship on social media and shit like that, it kind of opens the door for other people to, you know what I'm saying, become a part of your relationship. Because now they can post on your comment and get their opinion on how your relationship is supposed to be, or what they think about your relationship or your partner and all that shit. And I don't have time for that shit. I don't care. Like, the whole world does not need to know my business or what's going on in my relationship. My relationship is my own, and nobody else's opinion matters when it comes to my relationship is my own. Because at the end of the day, you know, whether my friends hate my girlfriend, my mama hate my girlfriend, if I still love her, I'm going to still deal with her no matter what. And that go vice versa for anybody else. You know, you can tell a person that person is, you know what I'm saying, bad for them all they want to, but it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, if they want to be with them, they're going to be with them. So I just say, stay off, keep your business and your relationship off of Facebook or social media, period, because all it does is open up doors for problems.
Man, can I ask you something? Do you need a hug?
No, I'm good.
Do you need a hug? You was like, let me tell you something. Let me tell you. You're not going to talk about my girlfriend. Let me tell you. I ain't going to put my... I was like, oh, shit. You okay, player? I'm good.
Trust me. Like, I'm floating on cloud nine over this bitch.
Now, we were talking about how, like, not necessarily your own relationship, but like, you know, liking girls' photos and stuff like that on social media. But I, that is a good point, right? You know, whether or not you post your relationship on social media. So that's a good way to look at it. And so I appreciate that, that point of view. What about you, Duke?
So I'm going to go a little different here. Mm-hmm. I think it's a couple of different layers to this and different scenarios. So one scenario is if you've had this done to you before, let's say you dated someone and you found out they went on social media to hook up with other people, so on and so forth. Now, are you carrying that PTSD onto your new relationship? Does this person deserve to have that same amount of, you know, vigor, I guess is the word I'm looking for, or that same amount of, you know, are you putting that on them because of what happened to you in your past?
Yeah.
And then another thing. Exactly. And then the other one, and that's what was my next one was going to be basically too. Like, are you with somebody like the scenario that you were talking about, news? Are you with somebody that's giving you a reason to believe they are going behind your back on social media to hook up with other people? Both of those you have to look with. I think there's two different ways there, because one is you have to look inside yourself and be like, okay, do I have PTSD right now? Am I putting somebody else's mistakes on this person that I'm with now? Because if you are doing that, that's going to be the beginning of the end of your relationship. Mm-hmm. So that goes back to what we've been talking about a while now. Make sure you are fully healed before you try to bring somebody else into your life field, so to speak. And then that second scenario is if you're with somebody that you don't feel that you can trust, if they're on social media or whatever the case may be, then that's another conversation you need to have with that person to figure out if this is exactly what you want, you know, to make sure that you both are happy in this scenario. Kind of what Mailman was saying in his soliloquy earlier, too. You know, and then the third one is if you have a healthy relationship and y'all are feeling each other and you are making each other feel secure, obviously there's levels to it. You shouldn't be, you know, commenting or making little sexy videos or some thirst trap videos on TikTok or Facebook or something like that. That's out the picture. That's out, period. That's some shit. If you want to make a sexy fucking video, send that shit to the person that you're dating. Don't put that shit on social media, period. You know what I'm saying? But the gist of it is how strong is your relationship? If y'all trust each other and y'all both happy and shit like that, and y'all on that same level, that same page, it don't matter if somebody click on like somebody's photo or anything like that. Me personally, if I'm going to like a photo, it's somebody that I know. It's not somebody we all know we got, especially I'm mostly on Facebook when it comes to the social media pages. I have other ones, but I don't really go on them.
Except TikTok.
I ain't never getting that. you know what I'm saying? If I'm going to like somebody's photo, it's usually in an uplifting manner because they feel like they look good in this certain outfit that they got, or they just got their hair cut, or they got a promotion at work, whatever the case may be. So it's nothing threatening to my partner. So she doesn't have to feel that way, and vice versa, she does the same for me.
But we talking about them thirst traps, goddammit, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't scroll down Facebook or scroll down on TikTok. It's all over TikTok. Like, you can't get away from it on TikTok. It's nothing but a bunch of ass twerking, booty shaking fucking thirst traps on that motherfucker. But like,
now, that's something definitely different. I don't think you should be doing shit like that if you with somebody.
Yeah.
That's why you got to change the algorithm. Stop liking them fucking photos. I'm just saying.
I think, man, obviously you want to base it off of your relationship, right? The problem, and this is just me talking personally, the problem that I have is that there is a lot of people that use certain things like their body as ways of comedy, right? You know what I mean? Like, if a guy's talking about an ass, that can be funny, right? The problem is what my focus is, right? I don't care about ass in TikToks or social media because I am, I'm just weird, right? I'm just more focused on the joke. I ain't gonna lie. I was gonna say something. Honestly, I was gonna be like some profound shit, but I'm just like, I'm just weird, right? I went like, y'all know, we be at the club and y'all be like, yo, what you see? I see it like, yo, man, you see the girl right there with the redhead? Yeah. Why her toes look like that? Like, why her toes look scrunched up in them shoes? She gonna break her damn ankle. Like, I'm the one who focuses on that type of shit, right? Or the motherfucker who can't dance in the club and I'm laughing my ass off because he gonna hurt somebody. Like, that's the type of shit that I like to do. I like to people watch and make fun of shit. And so one of the issues that I have is that, like, there'll be like a woman who's like shaking her ass and there's a joke about the ass shaking. What is Daily News focused on? Is he focused on the ass or is he focused on the joke? Right. And the problem is, if I wanted to focus on ass, I would just watch videos with ass, but I'm focused on the joke. Right. And I think like Mailman's, or like Duke said, it depends on your relationship and your comfortability, understanding that that's not who you're with, right? I'm not that type of guy to be like, I'm just going to be checking out asses all the time on TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. And I'm not liking any of these photos. I'm liking, you know, some of the jokes and some of the growth people are making. You know, if you were 300 pounds 2 years ago and you want to post a picture saying I lost this much amount of weight and you're weight and you're showing off your body and the growth you made and the confidence you have now, that's a worthy, in my mind, that's worthy of a like, because and I'm not looking at, oh man, now she got a fat ass and tickle bitties. No, I'm looking at like, yo, I am so happy for you. That's an awesome transformation. You go, girl. Kudos to you. The problem is if your relationship is not built solid yep. ground and it's on sand, you know what I mean? You start mm-hmm. sitting there saying, oh, well, he's like, I know what he says, but this is what I'm projecting onto them. He's mm-hmm. liking this photo because he's missing something at home or she has something that he wants. When in essence, it could just be, you know, me enjoying not the show, but the message behind it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's be real here, fellas. You know what I'm saying? We're men. We're visual creatures. You know what I'm saying? So to sit there and say that, you know, we ain't going to notice a fat ass when a fat ass walk by is to be lying like a motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? But I don't think it's wrong to, you know what I'm saying, appreciate a woman's physical attributes and their physical beauty. You know, as long as you're not, like Duke said, being disrespectful to your partner. Because if you were single, it'd be no problem with you looking at thirst traps and clicking that like button on, now would it?
Well, that's the whole point.
Yeah,
though.
That's the point. Right? Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so don't we? I just want to make it clear that we're not demonizing, you know what I'm saying, thirst traps and looking and appreciating a woman's physical beauty. We're not demonizing that, but what we're saying is that, you know, be respectful to your partner. And
right.
You know, that's where you got to, you know what I'm saying, draw that line in.
So I'm going to give you an example, okay? Because I'm on this fitness journey of mine, right? One of the things I focus on a lot is man physique. No homo. I'm going to establish that right now. I am not gay, right? At all. Don't swing that way.
Respect not people. That there's anything wrong with
yeah,
that.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, you know, judgment, I mean? Over here.
Yeah, yeah. You swing that way, good for you. Glad you found your truth. But my thing is, I don't swing that way. So I do though, I'll sit there and be like, listen, yo, this guy has some really nice biceps. He must really put in the work to get those. That the physique that this guy has is not natural. One of the guys I work with is built like he's cut in stone. And I appreciate this because this is a guy who like a couple years ago had testicular cancer. And I'm like, you went from having cancer, losing weight, going through chemo, and now you built like fucking Apollo Creed. Good for you, man. Like, I am happy for you. I've told you this, you guys this numerous times, and I'll say it on my podcast. There is one guy I work with that I absolutely hate because this motherfucker is so smooth. I hate him because I can never be this guy. He tall, dark, and handsome. He 42, looking like he 25. He says my lady all the fucking time, but he says it in such a smooth ass way that I know I can't get away with it. Like, he'd be like going to like 80-year-old women, but my lady, we're gonna walk down the hallway and then we're gonna make a right and we're gonna go to the therapy gym, my lady, and then we're going to sit down and we're going to walk on the bicycle for a little bit, and then we're going to do that. Is that okay with you? I'm like, bitch, I can't do this shit. Skin look like he bathed in cocoa butter. Nothing wrong with this man, right?
It just sound like you jealous.
Yeah. But listen to how I say that, right? Man, I'm like, man, this dude.
You can appreciate.
Yeah, I can appreciate his physical body and his work ethic and what he puts into himself and his mental and everything about him, right? He's just a good guy. And then at the same token, you can appreciate women in the same aspect, the work they put into their body, the mental health, everything like that. The difference is whether or not the relationship is built on a place where that is acceptable, right? If I'm with my boys and I can say, yo, man, that dude look good, right? And this is why I'm like, this motherfucker, I'm not insecure at all. I'm Blade, I'm in a Blade movie coming up here in my mind.
Butter knife, right?
But this dude is super smooth, sexy, whatever the case may be. I can comment on him like that, right? And women will sit there and say, oh my gosh, did you see her? She looks so gorgeous. She looks so sexy. She's beautiful. You want a relationship where you both can comment on stuff like that, right? You know what I mean? Like, you talk to your friend. Because you don't want a relationship where you have to hide a part of you. If I appreciate people, if I appreciate people and their growth and fitness and health and everything like that and what they've done to get to where they do, right? That is a part that you don't want to be in a position where you feel like you have to hide that from your partner.
It's aesthetics. If you can find beauty in people's aesthetics, whether they male or female, then that's nothing wrong with that. That's natural. You're supposed to be able to, you know what I'm saying, say, hey, you know, and let's not forget that there are some very attractive people out there in the world, you know what I'm saying, whether it's male or female. They just have some attractive people out there. And then there are some not so attractive people out there. But, you know what I'm saying? To want beauty is in the eye of the beholder, right?
Yeah. Just remember, I mean, you can, there's not going to be a day that goes by that you're not going to see somebody that's attractive, whether that is your mate or somebody that you're not dating. That's just the way of life. It's just, you make sure that appreciation doesn't become disrespect to the person that you're with. That's all.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And so sure. If you're doing that and you appreciating, you know what I'm saying, all you're doing on social media is appreciating a bunch of different women's body or different men's body, then, and your partner sees that, then that might potentially cause a problem for y'all relationship. Correct.
And I think that's important too, mailman. If you're gonna appreciate anybody, you gotta make sure you appreciate the person you're with. My counselor used to say this, right? Imagine someone's love language, right? And what they need in life is a cup, right? You want to make sure their cup is full before you start worrying about other shit, right? Mm-hmm. If their cup is not full, if you're not doing what you can to fill their love language and fill their cup, you're not doing right. Because if you're like, oh yeah, I like these photos, but these women don't mean nothing to me. I love you, but you aren't doing what it takes to fill your woman's cup, that can be an issue.
And that's where that issue would come in. That's exactly how that would come in. If you haven't filled their cup, that's where some insecurities could creep in. Whether you created those insecurities or they were already there, that's when they're going to come out.
Right. Right. And as y'all know, Daily News ain't insecure about shit but his height.
This ego is through the roof. I swear to God, I don't know if there's enough room in his house for his ego.
Nope, I got a spare bedroom for that shit. That motherfucker pay rent and everything. Yeah. Take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Hey, everyone. We're excited to announce our partnership with Greenlight. Our Greenlight card, yeah.
Hold on. I wrote a commercial you want to hit? Here you go. Greenlight. Because I use it, and they're paying me for it. Right. Cha-ching. Bam, baby. There you go.
And that's commercial. All right. Back to the show.
And we're back to the Real Dream Podcast. We're on to our third topic of the day.
On the next episode of Ratchet News.
Let's get ratchet. Motherfucker.
Oh, there shit. It is. I got to give you credit. He always be adding some new shit that we ain't ready for.
Always. Because it sounded like the original for a second with a little bit of roll on the R, and then you had to add that motherfucker. Ignorant ass.
I know. All right. Today in Ratchet News, we're talking about an actor named Marcus Pluck. For those of you who don't know Marcus Pluck,
Pluck or Polk?
Hey, Sally said fuck.
I think it's Polk, man.
Okay, P-A-U-L-K, Polk. We'll call him Marcus Pluck for the example for this story, man. We're going to talk about how Marcus Pluck played a child in the TV hit comedy show Martin back in the 90s. He played a kid who pretended to be Martin's son. So we're going to get into this episode by playing a clip from the TV show where Martin finds out that this child is not his.
Could be mine out Venice. How you doing, Angie?
How you doing? Hi, I'm Gina Waters, Martin's fiance. And this is my mother. She got my back.
Hi, Ms. Waters.
Charmed. Angie, I was just coming over to see you. I think we got a few things to talk about.
Yeah, come on right here, boy. Come on.
You must be Marvin. Why don't y'all have a seat?
Marvin owes you an apology.
No apology. I mean, come on, you should have told. After all these years, you just gonna come around here and not even tell me I got children, people's babies? I mean, come on, you know you're lucky my mother don't drop you. You know what I'm saying?
Really, Angie, you should have told Martin he had a 10-year-old son.
First of all, Marvin is only 8 years old. And second of all, Marvin is not your son.
What?
Marvin's father is being transferred to Arizona because of his job. And see, Marvin here, he don't want to leave Detroit. And that's what that's all about.
Hold up. You mean this ain't my son and I spent all my damn money on Shorty?
I'm sorry I lied to you, Martin. I just didn't want to go to Arizona.
I'm sorry I lied to you, Martin. I just didn't want to go to Arizona.
So we're going to pause it right there, man. This is one of those classic episodes. I swear, if you have not seen a sitcom, Martin, watch it. It is one of those shows that is timeless. You can watch it in the 90s, 2000s, whatever, man. And it just stays funny. Do y'all remember this episode?
I remember.
I do remember this episode, but he's Miles. He's Moesha's little brother.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So he is Moesha's.
Now, what's the point of you playing this, by the way?
Because Marcus Polk just got arrested not too long ago.
How old is he now?
I'm not sure.
Scroll down.
Oh, he's grown.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, my guy.
Yeah, according to law enforcement sources.
Hold up. Fucking boxer, Roy Jones. Don't that nigga like Roy Jones?
He do. Yep. He do.
Y'all must have forgot.
He do actually look like him. He do.
Anyway, long story short, Polk got pinched Sunday morning by county sheriff deputies and blew a .109 and had a bag of marijuana on him in a state that it is illegal to carry marijuana.
That motherfucker was lifted. was lifted.
Damn, yep.
But the reason I say this is because this all happened in Arizona.
Arizona.
Yeah, so if Martin would have not left him go to Arizona, kept him in Detroit, this would have never happened.
You are stupid. For real.
didn't they have a drug episode on Moesha? His little ass wasn't paying attention.
Because I'm pretty sure
they had a drug episode and he took the drugs. Take some pills or something?
I don't know. I'm sorry, lied to you, Martin. I just didn't want to go to Arizona. Now I know why.
That's so fucked up. How the hell did you find that shit?
Hey,
for real.
It just works. Look, man, I feel sorry for him, right? He's a child actor. We've all seen child actors go.
But how old is he right now?
How old is he now?
Well, let's do the math, right? Martin came out in the 90s, around 96 to 98, right? So we'll say he's around, 7 to 10 years old.
I'm pretty sure he's about your age. I think he's about your age.
Bro. Yeah, I'm 32.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It sounds like this motherfucker like 28 to 32.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? In that age range.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yep.
So that's a grown ass man. I don't feel bad for him. He was out kicking and getting drunk and high shit. You know what I'm saying? Shit happens, goddamn.
I'm just saying he just needed a role model. A male figure to keep him in Detroit.
Child actor, he was the role model.
No, child actors, man, their parents.
I've heard.
Yeah, But Martin was there. If you watch the episode, they called him Shorty Doo-Wop. Shorty Doo-Wop should have stayed in Detroit.
No shit, man.
I wouldn't go to Arizona either, Shorty.
Locking motherfuckers up in Arizona, got it.
And with that being said, I'm looking at houses in Arizona, just so y'all know.
Yo, dumbass. Sorry, did I say that out loud? My bad.
No, you said that to me. Stop acting like you said that. It was a mental thought.
Yeah, but I thought my inner voice was still talking. My bad.
Inner voice.
My self-talk,
Your self-talk be like, you dumbass.
And my self-talk be talking shit, bro.
Shit, man.
That's fucking crazy.
Isn't it, though? Isn't it, man? I just thought the irony of that, right? A show we grew up on where this little boy was like, I'm sorry I lied to you, Martin. I didn't want to go to Arizona. Goes to Arizona and catches a case. I feel sorry for the little man. Now it does, man. And listen, I'd have stayed away from Arizona. Like, you ain't want to think how high that would look. You smoking weed, you getting high, you drinking and driving, and then all of a sudden, whoop, whoop.
Hey, in his defense, he did think, you know what I'm saying, 20 years that rolled by, I should be good by now, right?
Obviously not. Oh, that motherfucker got DUI too, by the way. The legal limit in certain states is 0.06 or 0.08. This motherfucker was a 1.9.
That's what they that didn't do for you.
That motherfucker was on, boy.
Hold up. You know what I'm saying? I used to smoke bud and drink. You know what I'm saying? And I've gotten pulled over before. And when I blew, you know what I'm saying? I was under the legal limit. And I know I was freaking toasted. Like, I'm not condoning this shit now. But if I'm not mistaken, smoking bud tends to lower that shit, you know what I'm saying, your blood alcohol level, doesn't it?
It can, but you can still get charged for driving under the influence. That doesn't necessarily mean you blew high.
But he blew a 1 point something. You know what I'm saying? So that bud he smoked didn't bring his blood alcohol level down at all.
So, and I'm going to defend.
That's because he got wet with Wayne Brady.
That's
that.
And I'm gonna defend Mr. Pluck for a second, okay? We don't know how much.
How many times you gonna say that young man's name wrong?
I know.
You just said how many goddamn times? It's Pluck.
Polk. P-A-L-K. P-A-L-K. Where the fuck is the L coming from?
You just...
Where's pluck coming from?
Oh, yeah.
How you getting pluck out of it?
The actual L in there, yeah.
Or the U. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Anyway, I'm calling Mark. I'm calling by his first name. We don't know how much weed he smoked. We just know he had weed on him, and he blew. In his defense. Now, in your defense, you were an experienced marijuana connoisseur.
He could have been experienced too.
We don't know
his expertise in that field.
Exactly.
We don't know his expertise.
Put my business out there like that. All
right. My bad. Wait. Hold up. I was about to be like, I'm going to cut it out. I won't put it in an episode. This motherfucker was like, you remember that one time I got pulled over? I was high as shit. And I was drinking like a motherfucker. And I blew
that was
illegal.
That was in the past.
And I'm talking about the past. Yeah, he's like, man, don't smoke weed. We all had past, you know what I mean?
But the way you make it sound like, nigga, I was just, you know what I'm saying? I was on that Wiz Khalifa and Snoop Dogg level or some shit.
No. Nah, there's motherfucker. Look, man, there's people that like, there are so many stories about people who have smoked with Snoop Dogg and regret that shit. Like, they're like, I don't ever want to be that high.
Right? Start reevaluating their life choices and shit.
Facts. Marcus, stay up, man. And stay out of Arizona, dog. Stay out of Arizona. There's a reason you ain't want to go there. Sorry, I lied to you, Martin. I just didn't want to go to Arizona.
I hope that young man land on his feet.
Yeah.
Young man, he my age. Boy, you better get the job. Get out of here.
You're a young man, too.
Shit. On that note, y'all got anything to say?
I'm going
to
leave y'all with this. Always be respectful to your partner. Just as simple as that.
But you nice. Do. As usual, that is beautiful.
That is.
And now, my advice is for all the people that I had a falling out with this year, fuck you next year too.
God damn it.
Button.
Why you hold on, stop. Why you always gotta fucking follow behind my some beautiful sentiment with some bullshit like that?
That makes it so much better. Because they're like, oh. And then they wait for me to say the ratchet shit. So there it is. There it is. Hey, that's good advice.
Right. That's violent. You're violent like a motherfucker.
In all fairness, y'all ain't giving bad advice. You know what I mean? Like, you be like, hey, listen, this is how you want to better your life. And I hope, you know, everything goes well. And just remember the important shit that we say. And then Duke be like, hit a motherfucker with a motherfucker. And we be like, yeah.
That's still my favorite.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Like,
that was a good one.
No, my favorite one was when they bear me up, bump me the opposite way so they kiss my ass.
Yeah, so that shit was. Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
They just come to me, so.
They just come to you.
They just come to me, so I just gotta be like, you know what? I need to share this message with the world.
You with the shit. That's what that is.
Shit. And my advice to our listeners, don't go to Arizona. To my boys, Duke and Mel, man, listen, fellas, I love y'all. I wish
love you too, bro.
Love you too, y'all. Obviously, I'm going to talk to y'all on Turkey Day, but, you know, for the sake of the podcast, y'all have a good Turkey Day.
Yeah, yeah.
You as well.
Yeah, and to all listeners, man, have a good Thanksgiving if you celebrate it.
The people that don't celebrate Thanksgiving? Who the hell don't celebrate Thanksgiving?
Indian and Native Americans, you know what I'm saying? And like, if you do your research and your homework on it, you probably wouldn't celebrate it either.
I don't celebrate Thanksgiving because of the meaning of Christopher Columbus. I celebrate Thanksgiving because of the meaning of me being around my family and friends and giving thanks to them.
Right.
I think you can separate the two. I think you can separate the two. I think most people can separate the two. And I think there are some people that are like, no, you shouldn't separate the two. It's all connected.
It is. So, like, I mean, that's another conversation, though, like, for another time. But you know what I'm saying?
I don't think about Christopher Columbus or Indians on Thanksgiving. I think about baked mac and cheese and collard greens and cornbread and my dad falling asleep on my couch and whether or not this motherfucker is going to be drooling or not. That's what I think about.
I'm not celebrating Thanksgiving.
You're not?
No, I'm not.
Hey, kudos to you. More collard greens for me. Yeah. I am not knocking anybody who doesn't celebrate it. So
I will sit down that night and have dinner with my girlfriend and my daughter, but I'm not celebrating Thanksgiving.
That's okay. You know what you can celebrate? Football.
We will not be having turkey and dressing for dinner. We're having salmon.
I'm sorry, what?
Salmon. You never heard of salmon?
Yeah, I've heard of salmon.
You haven't
salmon.
Yeah.
All the turkey is on sale. You won't have salmon.
I'm not fucking eating turkey. When I tell you I'm not celebrating Thanksgiving, I'm not celebrating Thanksgiving. That means I'm not eating turkey. I'm not eating dressing, ham, none of that shit. I'm not doing it. None of it.
What about chicken? You gonna have salmon?
I think I might cook some chicken for my daughter because she don't eat fish. But
I'm sorry. What? Your daughter don't eat fish either?
She don't like fish.
Okay, that's cool. Then you should probably have turkey. She might like turkey.
No.
I'm trying to corrupt you, nigga. I should stop.
I see. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, that shit ain't happening. You can forget that shit. Yeah. I ain't easily swayed by the masses.
I ain't no masses. This is me.
Well, you easy, motherfucker. Sure. All
right.
I love y'all, man.
Love y'all too. To all our listeners out there, you guys keep dreaming. Take care.